Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Jay Costa, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Costa at any point this evening, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Jay Costa.
Well, thank you, Hugh, and thank all of you, the residents who are participating in tonight's telephone town hall. You know, some of the best feedback that we get really takes place in the direct contact we have from our constituents, and that's what this program is designed to do. Have folks, if they have concerns about things that are going on here in Harrisburg, and we're in the heart of our budget season right now, so a lot of major policy issues as well as financial issues are being discussed right now. So if you have questions along those lines, you can, you know, sit at home and press 3, star 3 whenever you have a question, and we'll be able to entertain as many questions as possible. So Hugh, without much further ado, let's try to get started.
All right. As the callers are loading up here, I know there's some folks who want to talk with you, and they're going to come on the queue a little bit in just a moment. Senator, the budget, we're in the midst of the budget discussions right now. Can you provide those with who have joined us here this evening a little bit of an update as to what's going on and what may happen in the near future?
So at the end of the day, what we have is back in March of this year, Governor Wolf proposed a $29-plus billion budget. Overall, it's more like a $78 billion budget that we have to deal with here in Pennsylvania when you include federal tax, federal dollars, as well as other revenue streams. The governor has really proposed a significant number of policy measures as well. One of the things he wants to do is make a significant investment in education, which is in a priority of the Senate Democratic Caucus as well. The governor's proposed restoring about $1 billion in education. From pre-K, $120 million in pre-K and Head Start dollars, additional dollars, I should say, $400-plus million in K-12, as well as resources that would go into higher education. The proceeds in order to make those investments would come from the governor's plan from the Marcellus Shale industry. We're asking that they be part of the solution with respect to our education crisis here we have in Pennsylvania, and the governor's put forth a proposal along those lines. We're also looking at addressing the issue of property taxes. Governor Wolf has heard loud and clear from the constituents across Pennsylvania, as we have in our Senate districts, that we need to do some things along the lines of property tax relief. Far too many families and seniors are being forced to deal with the rising property taxes, in my view, directly related to the shortfall of funding from the state to our school districts, forcing the school district to raise taxes. But we're trying to work on that issue now. So that's a major issue. The governor's proposing a 50% property tax reduction for every household, every homeowner that serves as a household. And the way we're going to be able to do that is by increasing the personal income tax as well as the sales tax. So basically there will be a shift from the property tax reduction of an average of about $1,000 and shifting from the personal income tax to the and the sales tax increased from 6 to 6.6 and the PIT from 3.07 to 3.7. So those are some of the things that are out there, as well as investments in our human service programs, which we think are important, as well as strategies and job creation type programs that would require additional funding that we haven't seen in many, many years here in Harrisburg. So it's a broad-based it is a very broad-based budget that is very comprehensive and very bold, but it's something I think we need to address. Some of the areas on the expenditure side that the governor is talking about relate, for example, to Medicaid expansion. We're very pleased that the governor has agreed to adopt a Medicaid expansion plan that Senate Democrats have been talking about for a couple of years now. On the pension side, we recognize that we have to make changes to our pension system here in Harrisburg for our state employees. And the governor has proposed a plan that will allow us to make short-term and long-term savings to our school districts and to our commonwealth with the plan that I think is, makes an investment in those funds to stabilize those funds. So those are all some of the things that we'll be looking at as we go forward.
Thanks, Senator, for that budget update. A reminder to those who have joined us here this evening, if you can have a question for Senator Costa, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to the callers now. We're going to go to James in Squirrel Hill. James, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Hi, Jay. How's my favorite Paisan senator doing?
I'm doing well, James. How you doing today, buddy?
Good, good, good. I was talking to your moderator, and I made the point that in the Rendell administration, job creation was addressed pretty much by Yablonsky and Rendell, and by the Ridge administration, it was Kim Kuhn and Charles Zogby and Ridge. And Corbett apparently didn't think the job creation was very important, then if the new report by John Hanger and the Deputy Secretary of Labor and Industry are correct, that we didn't create 107,000 jobs, and we're 49th. We actually created about 87th, and I don't know that, where that puts us, but I don't think it's a good place. My question was, who's in charge of job creation programs at the Wolf administration? Is it McGinty? Is it John Hanger? You know, I'm trying to help out, but I don't. This is not a life quest. One would hope this could be a little less opaque.
Well, Jim, let me say this, and I know you and I've met and we've talked, and you presented some position papers and ideas to me and to the administration, and I can tell you that I know that it's sort of, I don't want to say economic development, job growth by committee, but I do think that there's more of a comprehensive approach to this. I don't want to say there's one particular person along those lines. Certainly Governor Wolf has been very active in a lot of these conversations that we have each week with him and his key staff folks who we sit around a table and have conversations along the lines of what can we do to make Pennsylvania better, particularly as it relates to job growth. So I would say the Secretary of Policy, John Hanger, is somebody who's very instrumental in this discussion and crafting a proposal. Secretary Randy Albright, who I think you've talked with and met with in the past, he's very much a part of this conversation, as well as Secretary Dennis Davin from the Department of Community and Economic Development and his team. So we've got very experienced, very thoughtful folks who are addressing this issue. But the job growth is one of about six or seven priority items that we're trying to wrestle with as we go forward, trying to implement a budget, particularly a budget that starts with what now has been agreed to be, for this fiscal year alone, a $1.2 billion structural deficit that grows to about 2.3 in 2016-17. So we have many challenges along those lines on a variety of issues that we're trying to reconcile. But one of the best ways to grow revenue in this Commonwealth is by creating jobs. And in order to create jobs, you got to make investments. And that's the conversation that's taking place. And you have to have programs that work, and you have to have ideas and concepts that work. And I know you've worked on some of them in other places. And we have to adopt some of those type of things to help grow jobs here in Pennsylvania. And that's a priority for us as well. But, Jim, thank you for your call, and I hope that answered your question.
Jim, thanks again. If you have a question for Senator Costa, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Lori Ann now. Lori Ann, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Hello, Senator Costa. My name is Lori Ann, and I am an employee of the Liquor Control. I am a clerk. I realize that the Liquor Control has contributed at least $500 million to the state coffers. I want to know what we can do to increase or modernize the liquor and perhaps include cannabis in the equation. If you look at the state of Colorado, and they have taxed and also controlled the cannabis market by eliminate the Medellin cartels and the illegal drug cartels and organized crime and control cannabis, and to perhaps help us with property tax and to eliminate the immense burden on our taxpayers.
Well, thank you very much for your call. Let me start with the latter conversation, cannabis. I don't know whether or not, and I don't believe that Pennsylvania is ready to be a state that joins Colorado and Washington with respect, or even Washington, D.C., for that matter, along those lines. While some recognize that there's revenue that could come from that that could possibly be used for, let's say, property tax relief or to fill other holes in our budget, I just don't think that we're there yet. We're struggling, quite frankly, right now to pass medical cannabis, which I think is very important, and we should do it, and we need to do it. The Senate has passed it twice. For some reason, the House of Representatives, Republican-controlled House of Representatives, has failed to move medical cannabis. I think when you look at the number of folks who support the notion that we should be implementing a medical marijuana program in Pennsylvania, it's like 85%. So first we have to get through that hurdle. And I think that we're ripe for that, but I don't know whether we're ready for the other side of that equation, recreational use and taxing of cannabis. With respect to the LCB, Senate Democrats for about 4 years now have been talking about modernization. We recognize that we have to make changes at our LCB stores and our operations, and we proposed something, Senator Furlow previously, and now Senator Brewster have proposed a modernization plan that, quite frankly, is something that I think that needs to be implemented. There have been some conversations here just this week, in fact, today, in fact, dealing with the issue of driving out some of the direct shipment of wine. You referenced the role that the LCB plays in terms of revenue to Pennsylvania. Our taxes are around $500 million. We certainly have to recognize that's a significant revenue stream. But on the other hand, we also have about $80 to $100 million each year in net profits coming from the LCB after they paid all the employees, after they paid all the store leases, after they paid for all the product, after they paid the LCB and the state police for what they do. We still have about $80 to $100 million in net profit that each year is transferred into the general fund to help us meet our obligations. So that conversation is going to continue. I expect that we will not complete a budget process until we do something along the lines of wine and spirit modernization. Somewhere on that spectrum between privatization and modernization, we're probably going to need to find a sweet spot that's going to meet the needs of what both parties would like to see take place and what's in the best interest of Pennsylvania.
Lorianne, thank you for the call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Acosta, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Helene in Penn Hills. Helene, go ahead. You're live with Senator Acosta.
Good evening, Senator. My concern is the property and school taxes in Penn Hills that I'm a resident, that the seniors have to pay the full bill of your taxes when you have no children in the school district. You're on a fixed income, and I can't. I was wondering if something can be done with having us not pay that full amount. If because some of us, like myself, I can't afford it, and it really puts a serious dent in my income for the year or the month.
Well, I agree with you that property taxes is probably one of the single biggest issues that we have to deal with here in Harrisburg. You know, we've had a lot of conversations about it. The House has passed a bill that would address the issue that would reduce it by about 36-37% to all homeowners. On your particular issue with respect to seniors who live in their homestead for a certain length of time, we have some county programs. There's the homestead exemption, and there's for all homeowners, there's gaming money that makes its way back to all homeowners. But beyond that, there are some of my colleagues, and I agree with Senator Boscola, Senator Pileggi on the Republican side, have proposed legislation that would freeze the seniors' property taxes at a particular flat rate. And any growth, any increase in property taxes by the school district, the state would pick up that senior citizens' amount. The problem is that's like a $50 or $60 million cost to the Commonwealth. And trying to find a revenue stream to pay for that is what we're struggling with. So some folks have advanced the issue of Keno as a way to do it. Other folks have talked about maybe doing some Internet gaming right now and using the proceeds from Internet gaming to drive to senior citizen property tax freeze. But that number continues to grow each year, and that's one of the concerns. But we recognize the impact that increasing property taxes have on Pennsylvanians, and particularly seniors. One of the other solutions is to prevent school districts from raising property taxes is for the state to fund the appropriate amount. And we haven't done that for the past several years, and that's what we need to rectify. To that end, later this week, the Basic Education Funding Commission, a commission that's been working for a year now on developing the appropriate methodology for a formula to drive out resources to all the school districts in a more fair and equitable way, they're going to release the report. I'm actually on that commission. We're going to release our report tomorrow or Thursday at the latest, and that'll give us great guidance along those lines. So when you combine the proper funding mechanism for basic education funding combined with what the governor's proposed with property tax relief, that would result in about 15% or so increase in state share towards property taxes, which will help drive down property taxes. That'll put it at the 50% level where it needs to be.
Helene, thank you very much for your question. So we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Charles now. Charles, go ahead. You're live with Senator Acosta.
Hello, Senator Acosta. I've been a longtime supporter.
And thank you, Charles, very much.
I have a question. You know, being a senior citizen, I'm wondering if there's been any any serious gain in dealing with the issues between UPMC and Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Yeah, we have been involved. I've been involved for a couple years now on this issue and resulted in the initial extension of the contract. And we've been working with the Attorney General and the mostly the Attorney General and the administration trying to craft a solution. Certainly the outcome of the Commonwealth Court decision and Judge Pellegrini from Pittsburgh ruled that the Medicare Advantage program needed to stay in place, and I was very pleased with that outcome because that was an ironclad commitment that was made by UPMC to not only myself but Senator White and the Corbett administration, and, which is even documented in newspaper advertisements that we asked them to do. So it was very disappointing that they went down that path where they tried to pull themselves out of that Medicare Advantage program situation. But there's more we have to do. And we have to change our Purely Public Charity Act to make certain, and I've got legislation to this end, to make certain that they are more responsive to the communities that they reside and the impact that they have with respect to their ability to tax or to pay taxes. And quite frankly, in my view, neither of these entities or the large institutions no longer look like public charities. They look more like entities that are driven by a profit motive, and that's clearly one of the violations of the Act 55 or even the HUP test, one of the standards that need to be met. So we have to go back and make changes to make them more accountable, make them more transparent, and make sure that they're paying their requisite fair share to our Commonwealth and to our communities that they're located in. They give great health care, don't get me wrong. The health care that I've received from UPMC and other places is top-notch, and the people who work there, who administer that health care delivery, are top-notch and do great work. But my issue is with the administration in terms of how they, this notion that they are above the law, in my view, and some of the arrogance and the willful disregard of the impact that their decisions and their comments have and their legal positions have on the people of Pittsburgh and Allegheny County and Western PA.
Charles, thank you very much for the question. If you have a question for Senator Costa, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Maggie now in Regent Square. Maggie, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Hello, Senator Costa. I, too, have been a supporter of you for many years.
Thank you, Maggie.
And I was just calling because this is kind of a different subject, I guess, than you usually get. But I've been in Regent Square for 51 years, and I was born in the house I live in. And about 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I'm now in a wheelchair. And I just was wondering if you guys have any idea how horrible Pittsburgh is. Like, it seems like we're not even in the 21st century. For example, down in Regent Square, there's 7 businesses down there that, you know, are there for the public and to service customers. Out of 7 businesses, I can get into 1 bathroom. And many times, just a little curb outside a business, as you would know, like in Bloomfield, Squirrel Hill, just that little step off the sidewalk into the business prevents me from being able to do anything social with people. And I'm wondering, you know, what, you know, aren't there codes and laws, and shouldn't things be being done for the handicapped community?
Maggie, thank you very much. You raise a great point. I know that we have to do better with respect to making our communities more disability friendly. And I know that there are local issues and also local entities that are responsible for zoning and the like. And some of our, you know, some of our rules with respect to grandfathering folks in under previous versions of the Affordable Care Act and other types of the Accessibility Act. You know, I think that that's one of the issues that I know that our Disabilities Council has been talking about, and it's something that we have to do a better job of getting on our business entities. Making the community more business friendly for, or making more friendly for our folks who are disabled. So we've got work to do both at the local level and at the state level through Labor and Industry, Department of Labor and Industry, but also through some of our agencies in terms of advocacy and making certain that when we see these type of things that there's some response from the entities that are not providing and not making the facility accessible. So I can tell you from our Senate stuff, we don't open any office or anything like that where we are not making certain that we're in full compliance with the Accessibility Act. And I think we have to force our communities to maybe even think about adopting ordinances that would require that of any new establishment for any occupancy permit, that they do that as well. So, Megan, thank you for bringing that to our attention, and it reminds us that we have to do more along those lines.
Maggie, thank you very much for the call, Senator. We're going to go back to your callers. We're going to go to Patricia. Patricia, go ahead. She's from Whitaker. Go ahead, Patricia. You're live with Senator Costa.
Hello, State Senator Costa.
Hi, Patricia.
Well, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing good. And I've been a follower of you for years, and I also used to go to political meetings with Donnie Abraham, who was our representative in the 70s. I don't know if you are aware who he was. And,
yep.
And I went to meetings with him. So I was pretty much following the Democrat and Republican Party for years. And my issue is job creation. There's a little thing on New York. It says Startup New York. Startup New York offers new and expanding businesses the opportunity to operate tax-free for 10 years on or near eligible university or college campuses in New York State. Partnering with these schools gives businesses direct access to advanced research laboratories, development resources, and experts in key industries. And there's a lot of ideas that New York uses that maybe Pennsylvania could look at or work with that.
Yeah, I agree. What you've described is, I think we have some of those things in Pennsylvania. We have what are referred to as Keystone Opportunity Zones, where you've got businesses who, for 12 years, I believe it is, don't pay any taxes if they're located in a distressed community. We also have KIZ zones, Keystone Innovative Zones, I believe, which is really targeted within a small area around universities, precisely what you're talking about. We implemented these, I believe, in the, I think it might have been the Rendell years that we did in Pennsylvania. So we do have some of those type of programs. However, I would tell you that a number of these programs have been ratcheted back so much, it's remarkable over the course of the past 4 years. You know, the previous administration made a point of not making investments in these type of programs or not making investments in economic and job growth programs that were proven job creators. And this administration, the new administration, recognized that we failed to be able to do that. And by the way, the statistics back this up. We went from 7th in the country in February of 2011 to January of 2015, from 7th to 50th, or 7th to 48th, depending upon who you talk to. But at the end of the day, we dropped remarkably because we failed to make those investments. And that's why we lost jobs. This administration wants to make investments in programs and institute and broaden programs like the KIZ zones, KOZ zones, and other type of programs that are very beneficial to entice people to want to locate there and grow a business in that community, in that neighborhood. And in this instance, with the, around the universities, you know, get those startup companies to locate here and be here, because those folks are some of our best and our brightest.
Patricia, thank you very much, Senator. We're going to go back to the questions. We're going to go to Nancy in Greenfield. Nancy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Thank you. Good evening, Senator Costa, and thank you so much for taking my question. I appreciate that. I am a realtor here in the city of Pittsburgh. In fact, we have met from time to time in Harrisburg. You probably, if you saw me, you might recognize me, but the name doesn't mean much. I have a couple of concerns regarding the taxation, the increases in taxing laws here in the state of Pennsylvania in regards to the property taxes. And it's kind of a twofold situation. My first part is on school tax reduction. What I have seen and read in the laws indicate to me that although school taxes would be reduced by a relatively small amount, if you think about it, if you look at the total taxes that a person pays on an average property value here in the city of Pittsburgh, it's fine to get a $200 credit or a $300 credit. If you have a tax bill of $400 or $500 or $4,000 or $5,000, which is on a property of $250,000, and it sounds like a lot of money, but given other areas in the county, it's relatively low. That credit is not much when you think about the fact that there is no cap. The school districts can turn around and increase school taxes again next year if they're within the 5% limit. They aren't being stopped from making further tax increases at a later time for new buildings, new supplies, new this, new whatever they come up with. That's the first part of my concern as opposed to a question. The second part is it's the double taxation on services. When this possible bill that might come out brings up new taxes, services, i.e., real estate commissions, attorney's fees, your gardener, people who perform services for you, accountants would be another one, their income would be taxed 4.5% at point of sale.
It depends on what.
Right. But then, take it a step further, at the end of the year, we have to pay income tax on it. So it's double taxation. And I don't think that that's fair, especially since it's not curing the problem. It's putting a Band-Aid on. And I guess I just want to voice my frustration that I think that somehow this broad picture is being painted to appease a lot of people for a short period of time, but it's really not correcting the problem. And I realize you were just one of many people in Harrisburg that has to work this out. But I wish that this scenario would be looked at more closely to help all of those of us who are in the service industry and those of us who are paying property taxes. Because in city of Pittsburgh, it isn't so bad, but $250,000 house in Pittsburgh that's paying $4,000 in Mount Lebanon is paying $8,500.
Well,
you know, there's a lot of disparity.
Yeah, and listen, that's one of the issues that we're trying to wrestle with. You know, the fact of the matter is the governor's proposed a property tax shift that would, in fact, impose a tax on some services, as you referenced, but it would provide a relief of about $1,000 on the school property taxes alone to most to all homeowners on average. Now, you referenced $250,000 homes, and while I think that's wonderful, but at the end of the day, most folks aren't living in those homes that we hear from and I hear from in the communities that we represent. So I recognize that. But at the end of the day, there has to be a tax shift. We don't have the ability in Harrisburg to print money to be able to just resolve the property tax crisis. There has to be a shift. If we're going to reduce property taxes at the state level, then we have to find the revenue somewhere. If we don't expand the base, as Governor Wolf has proposed, then we have to go higher on the PIT and higher on the sales tax. That's the only way you have enough revenue coming in to offset the cut in the property taxes that folks want to see us take place. So there are a number of proposals that are out there. The governor has a proposal out there. The House Republicans and Democrats passed a bill, House Bill 504, that would provide about a 37% reduction in property taxes, increase the PIT from 3.07 to 3.7, and increase the sales tax, I believe, from 6 to 7%. Those two things, without broadening the base. Now, that will only get you about a little more than almost a 40% reduction in property taxes. There's Senate Bill 76 that's out there that increases eliminates all property taxes, but that's about a $12 billion number. And so we'd have to find $12 billion in revenue somewhere else to make up for it. And, again, that proposal is even a higher PIT and a higher sales tax. And what bothers me the most is that it lets the business community off the hook for about $3 billion across Pennsylvania. So if we do Senate Bill 76, we're letting the business community off the hook for $3 billion. And you know who's paying for it? Every other homeowner in Pennsylvania is paying for it. So that's why I think it's a bad idea. That's why I believe that entities like our box supermarkets, our Walmarts, our Giant Eagles, all of our, you know, the UPMCs and Allegheny Health Network, the piece that they pay property taxes on their private side, to me, they should not be given an opportunity to not have to pay property taxes. My view is that I think we should support what the governor's trying to do, and broaden the base, or excuse me, provide a 50% increase in property taxes. The issue, though, becomes whether we broaden that base that the tax is applied to and look at some of the exemptions that already exist, for example, that you referenced that we have to look at. So at the end of the day, my guess is that if we do property tax relief, it'll be between 35 and 50% reduction. It'll probably be an increase in the PIT. It'll probably be an increase in the sales tax only, but it'll shift it from those from away from property taxes to between $800 and $1,000 on average per household to a place where you're paying a little bit more in those two taxes. But we have to address it. There's no question, because too many seniors are losing their homes. Too many seniors are struggling to make sure, and too many families, quite frankly, are struggling to pay the property taxes. To your earlier point, we have to put limits on the school district's ability to grow resources. To that end, we made changes a few years back where we took the exceptions down from like 11 down to 3. One of those 3 is relates to the ability to bypass the voter referendum dealing because they have high pension costs. If we fix pensions like we're talking about right now, and we should and we need to, then that would no longer be one of the exemptions they'd be able to look at. But you're right. We have to cap the ability of our school districts to raise property taxes if we provide property tax relief to the schools and to residents.
Thank you, Nancy, for the question. Senator, we're going to go to Jesse in Greece. Jesse, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
How you doing, Senator?
I'm well, Jesse. How are you today?
Good. I'm one of your avid supporters.
Thank you.
I just want to say that I support your position on the use of cannabis in Pennsylvania. I think it basically should be used for medical reasons.
Right.
And my question is really centers around, since Pennsylvania is becoming a powerhouse in shale oil drilling, and we have enormous amount, or quite a few gambling institutions, could that revenue from these two institutions help even reduce the property tax even more, or will we see a result of the revenue in helping fixed income citizens with their property tax? I know this seems to be an issue that I'm hearing all night, you know, listening to the callers, but this property tax, it's a major problem.
Jesse, thank you. You're right. It is a problem we have to address, particularly with folks on fixed income. Right now, through the gaming fund, we spend about $800 million a year comes from the gaming entities into Pennsylvania to the property tax relief fund and is driven out across every single homeowner in Pennsylvania. And their income, the amount of the reductions anywhere between $180 to like $300. But beyond that, we have a property tax and rent rebate program as well that provides some relief. So we do get some gaming money along those lines. There are some who are talking about, as I mentioned earlier, doing internet gaming that would drive the proceeds from internet gaming for a senior property tax freeze program to help our seniors in particular, on low-income seniors in particular. But then beyond that, there's others who look into Keno and other types of revenue stream to do that. With respect to Marcellus, we believe, and the governor has put forth a proposal that would require the Marcellus industry to contribute about anywhere from $800 million in new revenue to the Commonwealth. The bulk of that money would be used for education purposes. So that's how he wants to reinvest schools. He wants the Marcellus industry through a fracking tax or Marcellus extraction tax, to help be a solution to our funding crisis with respect to our schools. So I think you will see some of that take place over the course of this year, between now and probably the end of the year.
Jesse, thank you for the question. If you have a question for Senator Costa, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Martha now. Martha, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Good evening. I have a question that's not pertaining to what you're talking about at this present time. I am a widow of a veteran, and I was wondering if there is any money for the widows or widower of the deceased veteran, as I inquired about it, but it's money there, but I have to be in a nursing home, which I don't want to be because I'm not that ill that I can't take care of myself, and I want to stay in my own home. Is there any way that that could be handled, that I could get some of that money?
Unfortunately, there are not a whole lot of programs that provide direct subsidies for folks of widows of veterans, to help supplement or assist them or subsidize them, unless, like you mentioned, it relates to some of the health care that's provided. So there are some, we have a Veterans Trust Fund that we now have begun to put resources into, but I don't think it qualifies to be able to do that at this point, what you've referenced, to be able to help you stay in your home. However, we have been growing what are referred to as our home and community-based care programs, where you may need a little bit of assistance in your home with some services that may be helpful. And I would encourage you to contact the Allegheny County Department on Aging. They'll be able to identify for you some of the programs that they have available to give you some assistance. With respect to other types of financial support, there's places like the LIHEAP program where you may want to take a look at. The Dollar Energy Fund, those are places that will be able to assist you with resources with respect to helping to pay utility bills. We have the Property Tax and Rent Rebate Program in Western Pennsylvania, of course, across the state. Those are areas that one can go to get some support, regardless of whether you're a veteran or widow of a veteran. But specific with veterans, and there's some proceeds for veterans that they assist along those lines. But I don't know whether there, I don't believe that there are many, if at any at all, for veterans programs, widows of veterans, a program specific for that.
And if she needs some help in yep. proceeding with that, she can call your district office.
You can call,
call Jamie in the district office.
Call Jamie or Terry in our district office, and we'll connect you to the folks. We'll work with you to get connected to the folks at the county. So we'll look at the Department of Veterans and Military Affairs in Pennsylvania to see what programs are there, and we'll also work with you to reach out, and we'll coordinate with you for the county. So you can give our office a call and ask for Terry or Jamie or Susan. Any of them ladies will help you along those lines. That number is 412-241-6690.
Hi, Mark, thank you for the call, Senator. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Stanley. Stanley, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Good evening, Senator Costa. This is Stan Zamuda from Hazelwood, and I have a question that is not exactly related to tonight's talk about the budget and property tax reduction or the state stores, but I've been a committee man in Hazelwood since 1988, and I think it's time that being that our super voters are passing on. Yeah, I spoke to your pre-caller and explained that we've had stamps to commemorate Bugs Bunny, Mickey Mouse, Elvis Presley, and I'd like to, I think it would be a good idea if we were to work with the post office to try to get stamps to commemorate the everyday people, the people that made this country, the people that still consider voting a privilege, the ones that are honored that they're American citizens. You know, the people like the barber that cut my hair, the nurse that gave me my vaccination. I mean, the working people. We've honored our forefathers, you know, forever. It's time to give our seniors that are on their way out their due. Would there be any way of getting stamps?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think it's always important for us to remember who we are and how we got here and some of the great strengths of our region and, our of course, our Commonwealth and our country. I think what we can do, Stanley, is maybe coordinate with Congressman Mike Doyle's office and touch base with him. Stamps are a thing that's done at the federal level, not at the state level, but we can certainly coordinate with you and Congressman Doyle's office to have further discussion along those lines. But I think it's a great point you raise, and that we have to honor where we come from and who we are.
Stanley, thank you very much for your call. Senator, now we're going to go to Erica. Erica, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Hi. Good evening, Senator Costa. I am a senior, and I live in Pittsburgh, and this has been a great program. I really have enjoyed the questions, especially about the taxes and the property taxes and the UPMC, the one question about UPMC Highmark. Appreciate your answer and your work in this area. My question is, I'm concerned about the trains that are going through the state of Pennsylvania and through, especially through Pittsburgh, because that's where I live, filled with this very flammable, dangerous gas and oil. These trains that are coming, I don't know where, I know some of them are coming from North Dakota, but they pass through our Commonwealth, and the Penn Environment and a group called the Frackers, I think, have mapped our state to show just how many railroads are going through our communities. And right here in Shadyside, I'm within the half-mile danger zone. You know, if anything would happen, if a train that comes through Dale, in fact, that I think there's more than one train a day that passes right around, it goes right by Giant Eagle, Whole Foods, apartments, Trader Joe's, Target, you get the idea. It's the sort of a very crowded East End part of Pittsburgh, and there's a trains that go through right by all those places every single day. And then I have friends who, from their property, I can see the rivers, and I can see the trains going along the rivers. What is happening in Harrisburg? I'm sure you know this is going on, and I'm wondering what.
There's actually a good bit going on. I can tell you that you know, some of our colleagues and my colleagues and myself and others and the folks in the city of Pittsburgh have reached out to us. We are doing a couple things. One, Governor Wolf has made this a priority. He has reached out and pushed the railroad industry and some of the major players here, the oil industries, to make sure that they take steps to voluntarily do things that will address the safety standards. And we have to tighten our safety standards. That's not something we can do ourselves in Pennsylvania. But the governor has put together a commission of experts who are going to look at this issue and work to make recommendations along those lines. We're also working closely with Senator Bob Casey, who's also very much in tune with the issues and the dangers that are associated with it, and working to make certain that we have if the rail companies don't come along voluntarily to address and adhere to the safety requirements and safety standards, then we have to take steps to really ratchet them up. So there is activity underway here in Pennsylvania. Governor has put together a group of folks. Our members are involved in that conversation, as well as Senator Bob Casey and Congressman Mike Doyle at the federal level. So it's something we're very conscious of, particularly as it weaves through Pittsburgh and Allegheny County area, and through that area, we have to be concerned about it, and we are.
Erica, thank you very much for your question, Senator. We're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to William in Penn Hills. William, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Senator Costa, this is William Phillips. I wanted to speak to you a little bit about the medical marijuana that you're thinking about passing. I'll take you back a few years to the 60s and 70s. We had a national problem with marijuana. I have looked at the list of people that are going to be approved. I don't like it. I think there's a danger. I don't think veterans with PTSD need access to this marijuana. It's a building piece for people to try other drugs, and I think that they should think seriously before they approve medical marijuana. The people, the kids that need this medical marijuana, it's just a chance that it might help them. They don't have any proof that it will.
Okay. Well, thank you, William. I with respect to your comment that there's no proof that it helps folks, I respectfully disagree. I think that there have been a number of studies, not only in this country but around the world, that have indicated that done properly in the medical marijuana, and we're not talking about somebody smoking it, or you know, we're talking about it being administered in a more of a appropriate way that's restricted and limited in terms of the number of places that would grow it, the number of places that would regulate it, and a number of places would dispense it. fairly tightly regulated through that process, as about 20 some other states have already done, and maybe more than that. We have to do it the right way, and I think folks deserve the opportunity along those lines. And I think there's consensus in Pennsylvania that it's something I think makes sense at this point in time. But I appreciate your concern. There have been some conversations about the breadth of items that are the conditions or diseases that would be part of this, but I do think at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do for Pennsylvania right now, and I think that it's likely to pass as we go forward.
Thank you very much for your question, Senator. We're going to go back to Barbara. Barbara, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Yeah, hi, Senator Costa. I want to know your the progress that they're making as far as the minimum wage tax increase. You know, I'm single, and I don't. You know, I work 7 or 6 days a week. Every day, you know, I have one day off a week. I work $8 an hour. I'm 52 years old. I own a home. And I can't make it, you know. And people are telling me that I should just quit my job and go on public assistance. And I just don't want to do public assistance. I wasn't raised that way.
Yeah, well, you're right. I think that... you know, the minimum wage right now is way too low, and we have to raise it. It's something that I've supported for a number of years now, and the governor has come out with a proposal that helps us get to $10.10 per hour, and I think that's a reasonable and an appropriate level for us to move towards as we go forward. A number of states around Pennsylvania have all increased their minimum wage from anywhere from $9 an hour to $10.10 and even more. So I believe it's appropriate for us to follow suit and to be able to provide a better wage for the individuals who are working at that level. And I know there are some people who express a concern that it will drive out business, but the states that have increased the minimum wage, and as I said, a number have done it the last couple of years, that concern has not been the reality. And I think there are a number of economic studies that reveal that, and I really believe that it's appropriate for us to do it. And I think that you're going to see that conversation begin to heat up over the course of the next several weeks here in Harrisburg.
Barbara, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go to Gail in Penn Hills. Gail, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Hi, Senator Costa. This is Gail from Penn Hills. I just wanted to thank you for your support of adult education and the family literacy. And
sure.
Also, we're looking forward to seeing you the second week of September as you are a guest speaker for our graduation celebration. So thank you so much for all that you do for Allegheny County and our students.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Gail.
That was nice. Thank you.
Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Violet. Violet, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Good evening, Senator. I am very concerned about the unemployment situation in our Commonwealth. I really feel there's so many companies that have left Pittsburgh in the past 15 years. We were such a big, big city because of the construction work that we did. Because even after the steel mills left, we still had Alcoa, we still had so many of the big companies. What, if anything, are we doing to bring other than the technological companies back into the city? These will employ thousands and thousands of people who really need the work.
Well, thank you very much. I think you're right on the mark when you say that we have many challenges with respect to job growth and looking back at some of the industries that used to operate here in the Pittsburgh region. It's difficult right now to bring back those type of industries that employed those mega industries that employed literally tens of thousands of folks. We have shifted. We are now a technology and education or healthcare delivery sector here in western Pennsylvania, particularly in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County. And I think that's where our growth has been and will continue to be. We have to do more to incentivize those folks to want to come here and set up shop. And it's a variety of ways. It's our economic structure. It's our tax structure, both in the city and the county, in terms of property taxes and business taxes in the city. It's our quality of life in the city of Pittsburgh and our region. When you look now, some of the communities, and particularly in Pittsburgh, that have been reinvigorated with significant resources, significant investments from the private sector with little bit of help from the public sector, you know, places like East Liberty, where you've got Google, who's will end up probably having over 1,000 employees there, you know, probably having an average salary of $80,000 to $100,000. When you look at all these different startup companies in Lawrenceville, and I mentioned East Liberty and Point Breeze, you go out into Oakmont and see some of the things that are going on out there, and just so many different neighborhoods, Lawrenceville, all through the area, you see a lot of great things going on. And so I think our base structure of our employment has changed over the years, and it's largely, as I mentioned earlier, technology, it's healthcare, it's education, it's those type of things that are going to drive our economy as we go forward. The days of, I think, the large entities that employ, you know, do large manufacturing, those days are gone. I will tell you, though, you know, the past couple of weeks I've been visiting a number of our smaller manufacturing places, and both with young folks who are manufacturing things, but also long-term employment centers, you know, that are employing anywhere from 75, 100, 150 people. You know, just last week or 2 weeks ago, I went to Kopp Glass in Swissvale, the great work that they're doing there for over 100 years. They're making glass, beautiful stuff, in the old-fashioned way. It's a manufacturing center along those lines, but it's not to where it was many, many years ago. We have great opportunities for our old mill sites, like, for example, the LTV, the Almano site in Hazelwood. We have to have the right mixed use there. There's room for and there's space for light manufacturing, which I think will be high-end, high-tech light manufacturing will take place there, combined with retail, combined with office space, combined with housing. You name it, I think you're going to hopefully have a blend of all that take place there. That, to me, I think, is it's the variety and the overall sort of the broader sense of these activities that are helping Pittsburgh and Allegheny County grow.
Thank you, Violet, for the question. Appreciate that. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Terry. Terry, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Hello, Senator Costa. My comment is about the casinos and how they were supposed to have a fantastic effect on the property taxes of the elderly. I'm 72 years old, on a fixed income, and since the casinos have opened, my taxes have gone up 3 times because of assessments. The rate that it goes down cannot keep up with the assessments going up. And it's, like I said, I'm fixed income, and it has no bearing at all. My taxes have not gone down 1 cent in 8 years.
You raise a good point. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, you know, we do have the property tax program that provides out anywhere from $200 to $300 per household, but property taxes have been increased in about 80% of our school districts across Pennsylvania. In my view, in large part, due to the state's failure to properly fund our schools. If the schools had enough money from the state, there would not be a need to raise your property taxes. So that's one issue. You referenced assessments, and we've gone through reassessments over the course of the past 10 years or so in Allegheny County. And that's one of the things that, you know, I think is unfair across this Commonwealth. We are one of the only counties in the southwestern part of the state. I think Washington County is going through that process now. But there are counties that have not reassessed their properties in decades and decades. It's unfair to Allegheny County along those lines. But if your taxes are going up, it's largely because we have not made the appropriate investments in education to prevent school districts from making that increase. But secondly, I think in the past we had too many exceptions to Act 1 referendum, which says if you increase your taxes over a certain cost of living index number, that you have to go to the voting public. Well, they stay right under that number typically, or they find one of the exceptions. We have to stop that. We have to put more caps or cap the ability even further to prevent them from willy-nilly going and increasing taxes, property taxes in particular. And it's largely our school districts. It's not our local municipalities. It's not our county. It's largely our school districts. But again, part of the reason that we're doing it, they're doing it, is because they're struggling to have the proper resources coming in.
Thank you very much for the question, Terry. We're going to go to Rose in Wilkins Township. Rose, go ahead. You're live with Senator Costa.
Hello. My question is along the lines that you were just speaking about. I'm in Wilkins Township, which is in Woodland Hills School District. And I know that one of the issues with our school district is there are so many children going to charter schools, and it's mandated that the school district just pay whatever amount that this charter school asks, and then we also have to transport them. Can't there be some kind of limit or some kind of, you know, some kind of controls put on that so that my children, who I choose to keep in the public schools, don't have less funds available to them?
Yes, I think it's a great question. Charter schools, first of all, they're here to stay. They're an alternative to public schools, and I think the public have accepted them and participate in them. However, they've been a significant drain on our public schools in terms of the resources they have available. So to answer your question, yes, the governor's proposed, specifically with respect to our cyber charter schools, limiting the per-student cost that a school district would pay to a school district or to a charter a cyber school, I believe, in like a little bit under $6,000. Right now, that cost is really based upon the cost of educating a child at that school district. So you'd get like 80% of that, and that's the number that the school district has to send to the charter school. There's a difference, in my view, between brick-and-mortar charter schools, which I think their costs are probably a little closer in line to public schools, but not quite. I don't think they're there. But by the same token, cyber schools, in my view, should not be receiving the same level of funding from school districts that a bricks-and-mortar school or cyber school or charter school should be receiving. So the governor's proposed limiting it, as I mentioned. We're also looking to make other changes along the lines of having greater accountability, greater transparency, having them reduce their level of surpluses that they have so that they're not able to sit on tens of millions of dollars or in several millions of dollars in some instances, and that those resources should be driven back to the school districts from which they came. We're looking at attendance issues. We think there's an issue along those lines, particularly with our cyber school students, but you have to have this, there's a whole notion, whole discussion about truancy and who's responsible for monitoring that, because at the end of the day, the charter schools are not responsible for that, and hence they don't report those type of things. Those are a series of issues that are being discussed, and we hope to have some conclusion to them between now and the end of the when we continue our, or we end our budget discussion, hopefully by June 30th.
I know, Senator, we're coming down to the closing minutes in our discussion this evening. I know you have some closing comments for the folks.
I just want to thank all the folks who are listening and participating in today's program. You know, this is a way for us to hear from our constituents the issues that they feel are important to us. And while we still do regular community town hall meetings, I try to do this once every 5 or 6 weeks, just as I said, to get a good feel for some of the things that are going on in the community and hear about the policy issues that we're dealing here in Harrisburg with. So I want to thank everyone. Know that if you need any more information about myself or about what we're doing, you can always look at our website, www.senatorcosta.com. You can email me from that website. You can post comments on that website. You can call my office at 412-241-6690 if you have any questions or if you need any assistance from my staff. But I really want to thank folks for participating tonight on the telephone town hall, and know that we're going to be up here in Harrisburg probably for the next 2 or 3 weeks working on bringing closure to a state budget. And as you follow this process, just let us know what your thoughts are, and we'll be as responsive as possible. Thanks again, everyone.
And again, to those that have joined us, thank you for this evening. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for Senator Costa, and he will get back to you. Again, we appreciate you joining us here this evening. Have a good evening.